into the book of Ruth and in chapter 4. The book of Ruth and in chapter 4. We're reading from verse 1 to the end of the chapter. Verse 1 of chapter 4 of the book of Ruth, then went Boaz up to the gate, and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, and to whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city, and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee. And I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabite, yes, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner of former time in Israel concerning redeeming, and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was in Elimelech, and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's, of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make this woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou wonderly this matter, and be famous in that end. And let thy house be like the house of Thares, which came out there unto Judah, of the seed in which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto me, O my, blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women her neighbors gave the name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Thares. Thares begat Hebron. Hebron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Solomon. Solomon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to all our souls. We would like again this evening, by the help of the Lord and by the help of his gracious Holy Spirit, to try and retain your interest in this final evening of these meetings that we've had together. It would be my only hope that when others come to preach in the book of Ruth, that you'll be able to say possibly, Have the Lord been outcome? Well, I remember we went over that part, and over that part, and over that part. You know, the real value of ministry is when we remember it. You know, it's a good meeting. And there was a good spirit, and the hymns were good. But ask someone tomorrow morning what it's all about. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Or say someone, we all haven't got photographic minds, or we all haven't got computer minds, well, I appreciate all that. But the people that I met about, Mid Lothian, East Lothian, West Lothian, and all the parts I've been in, they can all remember what they want to remember. Tonight, I would love you to remember these meetings, just those little bits that touched your own heart, and touched your own spirit, and touched your own life, because if you go away from meetings unaffected, these meetings have just been a complete and total loss. Maybe the secret is knowing something else, that when Solomon prayed his prayer, he prayed for God to give him knowledge. And then he prayed to God to give him an understanding heart. And then he prayed to God for wisdom. Now these three things are distinct. Knowledge is what you hear at the meetings. What you read in your favorite books and authors and writers. Understanding is having the capacity to hold on or contain what you know. That's a different matter. That's the great link with everything. Wisdom is knowing how to handle what you know and understand. You understand, don't you? There's a great scarcity of those people. We know how to handle what they know and what they have understood and behaved. We finished last evening on a very beautiful note. And we would love this evening to come again here to that note again. That what Boaz has promised Ruth, that he's going to see the matter of her redemption. He's going to see it through. She goes home to Naomi and tells her all the story. I wrote a little note in my Bible 30 years ago. Maybe someone said you were better 30 years ago. Well, that really shouldn't be. Because as you go older, you should get better. And the ministry should get more mature and it should be weighted with great experience of life. But I noted many years ago, She told Naomi everything. Isn't that strange in these days? The children will hardly tell their mothers and fathers anything. Far less everything. Well, you know, a pure heart has got no secrets. A pure heart has got no secrets. She told her everything. But wasn't she telling an interesting soul? An understanding soul? Didn't she first get the message that Naomi was out for her rest and out for her food? For instance, I wouldn't tell anyone where a bird's nest is if I didn't think they were interested in me. Oh no, I wouldn't. But if someone is genuinely interested, I'll tell them where I'm going and what I'm doing and what I'm hoping and everything like that. You see, my friend, it wasn't difficult for her to tell Naomi everything because she really knew interest. She says, shall I not seek rest for thee? She was out for her personal and spiritual and future well-being. You know, it was just most moving to understand all that Naomi knew. And didn't I hint at that last night? Weren't you a little bit ashamed? I was anyway. What she knew about Boaz. Where he was. What he was doing. Doing it all alone. She knew the habits of the man. And you know, those that are old and spiritually mature, they should know the habits of Christ and the ways of Christ. Like Mary, you remember? Whatsoever he said unto you, do it. After 30 years of living with him, just do it. Just do it. And here she is again. She says to her daughter-in-law, sit still. Sit still. The man shall not be in rest until he sees the matter. Really, she knows not only the habits of the man, she not only knows the characteristics of the man, but she knows the very makeup of the man. This man won't leave it till midday. This man won't leave it till next night. This man will not be in rest until the matter has been said. She knew all about this. After the same when you get round about 50 and 60, and some years are getting over that in 70 as well, you know, you should really know the habits of the man. You should really know the haunts of the Lord. You should really know that he loves to meet you in the quiet. He really loves to meet you in a private prayer walk. He really loves your personal fellowship and affection and your love. You should all be knowing that. You should be communicating it to others. And when they young people are talking about this and that and the rest of it, try and get them round to the big thing. And try to impress them. Don't be afraid to tell them, but it's true anyway, that you wasted the half of your life on things that don't matter. And you spoke 10,000 words that Christ never once used when he was here and at. And that's how you impress the young people. Not by standing over them, and not by lecturing them, and not by saying, you know, in our days, when my father in our meeting, and the open air we used to have. Now don't do that! Because we're not much the better of all that. If I come out to be a lazy old man or something like that, what does it all mean to me? So she knows everyone. Oh, sit still. You'd think she was going to quote that verse with you in Romans chapter 8. She was saying to sit still, the man shall not be enraged. This man is not slothful in business. He's fervent in spirit. And he's serving the Lord. That's it. That's the thing of man we're dealing with. And so Boaz is there. The man shall not be at rest. This is the chapter of looking up into his face. This is the conclusion of the whole group. This is the manner about what it's all been written about. This coming of the Gentile bride to Ruth. I was checking out just today, so if you wanted to come and put your fingers on the web print here, I was checking out just things today that really thrilled my soul. And you know, I thought there was a tremendous touch, like the, you know, like the prodigal we were preaching to you that other Saturday night. No, lost, shot, found. And I was thinking about Ruth in that connection. She was stopped. She was brought. And in this chapter, we see her judicially and legally bought. And then it's not all the ways that God took, for whether we believe this or not, I'm older than a preacher, God had to put the name before ever a family left that temple. Before ever a family came, God had to put the name. How did he bring her? Notice. He brings her to a famine in another land. Not in her own land. There seems to be plenty on the other side of the Dead Sea. But he begins to bring her to a famine in another land. Oh, the ways of God. Imagine God beginning to start something that's going to happen here on the other side of the hook. Could you believe that? And then God is going to take up a faithless family. And then she's going to marry a faithless son of that family. But they never should have married an idolatrous nation. The next step in her coming here to this chapter, she's to attend a funeral. Possibly a kind of three funerals. Her father-in-law's, her own husband's, and her brother-in-law's. Is this the way that God takes to bring us nearer to him and to accomplish his great divine purpose? Well, surely if the famine came to Livingston and we were all out of a job and things like that, well, we would take. The famine wasn't in Livingston. It was on the other side of the Dead Sea. It wasn't in their own family. It was another family that God was going to use in the land of the Lord to bring us nearer to God. Then fear came in upon her when her mother-in-law left. Was about to leave, what was she going to do? The only spears from over the people of God. That's right. The only see that friendship that she had to break with Orpah. Do you remember? That friendship that she had to break with Orpah. Oh, these are all the ways God is going to bring us to this chapter. The only ways of God are something slow to be born in great patience. So she's to break her friendship, not only with her mother's house in the land of her nativity, but possibly with her best friend, my sister Philippina, her own love relation, sister. Who knows? Then she had to come into that field. And to be a widow, and to be the poor, and to be the stranger, and she had to take up the place in the corner of the field, and she had to live off other people's charity. Do you hear me? You have to live off the handfuls of workers. I know it was done very discriminately. Matters in relation to giving are all dealt with like that in the Bible. There's no piping. There's no blowing of trumpets. And then like that. You'll find everywhere for that matter of grace. It's always done in a very, very discriminate. That's so that you can go praise. And that's all.
And the passion of this
all of that bonnet of God, even in those little things that you possibly never yet hear and not heard, is to come away from the field of Moab and to deliver in the field of Moab. And then before she gets any further, she's got to get to the threshing floor. And there the chaff is taken from the wheat. And there the real and the true stands. Oh, the beauties of these things in this chapter. Then in the final chapter that we're going to deal with, we find that she is in the future genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you see how God started it. He started it away back in another land with another family and their faithlessness. And you would say nothing ever, ever could come of any good from that emigration away down into the land of God. But God is going to bring good out of evil. And God is behind every sin. And by the way, there are no cul-de-sacs in the purpose of God. And there's no luck, and there's no all these other things, my friend. Even to the coming of that field, that happens to land in the field that Boaz was reaping all the wonders of these things to bring root into the purpose of God. I notice that he's going to redeem root. And I notice that every word that he speaks, there's a transparency, there's an openness. And notice, it wasn't done in some cloister. It wasn't done in some little hovel about Bethlehem. It wasn't done in some little shepherd's hut. It was done at the gate. And everything was going to be above board. And everything was going to be not only done, but it was going to be seen. Oh, my dear friend, I would to God I could get this over to you. I would to God that meeting life could learn that not only has judgment to be done, but judgment has to be seen to be done. You must remember that. You know, he's at the gate. And whatever he's going to do, everyone can look at it. My dear brethren, what is there in our assembly that needs to be kept secret? Tell me that. Tell me that now. I don't mean that everything at every time should be discussed with everyone. That's not what I'm saying. But after it has been discussed and agreed, the first person to know is the church. You know, some people come out of secret societies. The assembly isn't that at all. We're a family. Now I know you don't tell all the children when you're in a little meet. And I know you don't tell the little babes that when you're in one. You don't do that. You hide them and shield them from that. Well, that's right. You don't tell all the young people everything that God has said to let them not by the way of the other thing. I know there's wisdom in all these things. But there is that thing. That no one should be brought into a fellowship who is not adult enough to take its privileges and responsibilities. That is then that mission. If they're adult enough to want to be baptized and into the fellowship, then they're adult enough to hear who's coming in their testimony and to hear the reasons why people are being put away. Everyone should wait to see these matters done. To see what he's doing, everything is done at the gate. Oh, that I could do this. Into your king. You know, he just told me, as he sits at the gate, notice he says to the kinsman that's coming, who, such a one. Did you notice he didn't mention his name? You know why? Possibly Naomi and Ruth have been back in Bethlehem and Judah now for 6 or 7 months. He's never once died in the blood. He's never once brought a parcel. He's never once brought a handful of corn. Hardly what could be in his name and your mouth. Oh, such a one. I wouldn't care if a man could give an exegesis of Ezekiel from now until the new year. It wouldn't move my heart. A man was painfully, thoughtful, tender, and generous hearted. My dear brother, you're not gifted. You weren't hearted. Will you visit when the people are down? We have a big Bible at home, and we need a banner to bring it into the meeting. A big, big thing. People always like to give preachers Bibles and old hats and things like that. That's what people give preachers. Old hats and old Bibles and old broken down concordances. They don't go to look at better ones themselves. Listen, in that Bible, there's beautiful pictures. I'm not meaning the pictures. When you gave a Jesus epistle, there's a beautiful painting. It showed all the mourners going away home at night. is of the Father.
The wisdom of the nation.
And coming in there, the door, you saw a very small, nondescript man. He had a parcel in his hand, and a bag in his hand. And he was going to visit with an old rest of me. But I tell you, brethren, this is what I'm going to say to you. We've increased in knowledge. We don't text and tense. We actually can sense that anything is better wrong. Even the very ordinary people of the audience are lost a sense of something. Something from the heart of God. Something from the very bones and compassions of the eternal. Work in it. You may understand, my friend. These two people, two widows, with nothing to support them. Nothing! I leave that to you. Sometimes our consciences are very seared. Indeed. You know, the right person to redeem Ruth was Boaz. But he knew there was a man that had a right nearer than him. Now here's a point. I know you'll fight for me at the door over this point. You see, my friend, people have got rights. Fathers have got rights over their children. I don't like a man who has got an infant over a child. Superseded father's infant. I don't believe in one person in the meeting being responsible for one thing, whether it be the Sunday school or the Bible class, whatever it is. Everything should be done in the mouth of two or three witnesses. The havoc has been caused in our land. And the heartbreak that happened is because the young people come under the influence of certain personalities. You know, when I was a boy, just saved in my teens, I used to look at the preachers as if they were trees walking. And I used to believe that they were made of different clay from me altogether. I used to look up and listen and say, oh, I'll be sitting in this seat all my life. But I admired them and I noted on them. And it's good when they look up to good men, and the good men is an example. But no man should wield an authority or an influence over the young people. I love to see the elders all working in unison, and the elders all taking the chair of teaching the blood of God. This is very, very important. Third, this man, Boaz, he could have redeemed Ruth, but he knew the confession. Right. Right. Now always remember that. Remember the tales of the right over the self. And remember, don't do a man out of rights. This is so very, very important. If you're on a New Testament, we'll deal with it at another time. Of course, everyone has read all the books that I've read. And they all know that there's something deeper in this. It's something to do with the... legalism. It's something to do with Ten Elders, Ten Commandments. It's something, you see, Ten Elders, Ten Commandments. It's something deep. It's something very, very deep.
It's really all about the big issue. That's couldn't put the nation of Israel out of the reckoning of the war for 2,000 years.
It's a prophecy on the most serious matter that ever happened in this world when the Jews would not accept Blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And when they would not accept, or ever think they could accept, a Gentile within the fold of the Jewish system, that is just where the whole thing broke down. They didn't mind. In the every church, even them that professed to be saved, they went down to Antioch and they said, except you be circumcised and obey the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. What is that? That is only an extension of Judaism. That is making Christianity an extension of Judaism. Christianity is not an extension of Judaism. Christianity stands or falls by itself. The Lord's Supper is not an extension of the Passover. The Lord's Supper falls or stands by itself. It is a new covenant. It is the same thing of the Jewish ones. Oh, listen to this. He says to them, oh, it is Naomi of that. And Malon and Shalit. And Naomi has a Passover lamb. And I thought to advertise these. Will you buy? Oh, yes. Yes, I'll
Oh, the land. Oh, the land. Oh, the fields. Oh, the thing I, could see. The thing I can get my feet on. Oh, yes. I'll buy the land.
You'll have to take to yourself the life of China.
You raise us into the dead. Of the inheritance and the family may not die. They wanted the land. But he didn't want. He didn't want. Why? Well, you see, he has so many scruples like us. If God's blood not say, you're not to my idea.
No.
God's word does say, an Ammonite and a Moabite shall not come into the congregation of the Lord until the tenth generation. And did he not say, I would mar my own inheritance if I did this?
Ah, my friend, he had never heard the roots. He had never seen the roots.
He had never heard the faith.
Thy God shall be my God. Thy people shall be my people.
Where thou diest, I will die. And then will I be buried.
The Lord do show to me and more also.
If on that day, that, thee, and me, then never was another Israelite in the whole history gave such a public confession of adoration and acceptance of Jehovah than that woman. We never heard her testimony.
I like to hear women's testimonies, not a media.
But I love to hear how they got it. How they got consolation. You know, none of us should be embarrassed when we're giving our testimony. It's something we should love to tell.
I don't mean parade. I spoke about that already to you. I don't believe we should be parading these things. And men should be running around getting full hall, just telling their story and we never hear them again.
Oh, I don't believe in that at all! That we will grow up and their life will be the testimony.
And their example will be the testimony of the grace of the Lord has taken for his name.
Oh, such an one. He wants the land. He can see that. He can get gain from that. He can get blessing from that. But what about it? He couldn't see through or past the land. He couldn't see past what he was walking on. He didn't know anything about the pearl that was in that field.
I look at the Lord that you remember that beautiful parable concerning, I think, our blessed Lord. It says that the merchantman was on a journey, and he came up on a pearl, and he went and smoothed it over the heart, and he might get the pearl of great price. Did you notice? The price was undisclosed. No one could calculate the price of the pearl. Maybe this is for the studious people. I hope there's a lot. Did you notice when you come to the woman in 31 of Proverbs? I know you've got a little bit of the virtuous woman up in your back kitchen. If you haven't, then you should. But it ain't about the virtuous woman. But there really isn't about the virtuous woman at all. Well, it is an application, but it isn't an interpretation. Interpretation, the virtuous woman was God's ideal of Israel. That purity, that strength of character, that care for her children, care for the fruit of her hands, and with her own much greater than any. She speaks with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness.
Many have done excellently, but thou excellest them all. Have great. The pearl is undisclosed. The rubies of the virtuous woman are undisclosed.
And the pearl in Luke chapter 4 is unknown to the eyes of the other, and from the other.
We're just happy with what we see. And any deeper, any closer to know the value of things. Why are we happy with cheap things? And cheap religious stunts and gimmicks. Why are we like that?
Oh, I never look at
that. And we think we're going to be damaged and our inheritance is good. This thing would have enriched his inheritance. He was afraid of getting his inheritance marred.
You're thinking of wasting your life of sitting over your Bible every night and praying to God when no one sees you and going to these dull, boring meetings that they go to. Listen!
As you get down into and look for the peril and find Christ and find his people in the peril and find his inheritance of the peril in it and know the wonders of it and come into the madness of it.
Oh, you know my whole such a man. Who was there yesterday?
And the thing that's going to enrich more is his inheritance. Is that difficult? Are you getting this point?
You think now, if I could change my lifestyle, if I could change the pattern of my nights and my weekends and my hobbies and my habits,
I might think, listen,
it's easier to get rich, and it's easier to get the property of the profession, and it's easier to be famous than it is to be spiritual. I tell you this, my friend, when God sees you free, everything else, you know, heaps of corn didn't mean nothing before us now. And all his estates, and all his fields, and all his labourers, and all he had, he's a mighty man of wealth. He was only after one.
I'm rooted in the purpose of God. I'm rooted in the mind of God. And he is seeking to have
that. What am I trying to promote to you? I'm trying to promote you that you and I should be searching what might have been that we might get into the purpose and the desires of God. You know, Boaz only wanted the field because he knew who was involved. The field meant nothing to Boaz. It was Ruth that really meant everything.
This song, was this a kind of quick God thing?
No. Usually quick God things. Die out as quickly. Someone says that which is born in the storm, you can die down the town. He had seen her in the corner of the field. He had seen her bringing the ears of God. He had seen her with a bowed back. He had seen her with a modest approach of the house. He had seen her taking the marshal with a finger. He had known the love that he had for his mother and mother-in-law. He said, for all the city of my field that know that the Lord, a righteous woman, for the polish not after young men, whether they be rich or poor. You know, this is the best proposal of Ruth, though. Other people were interested. Thou polish not after young men, whether they be rich or poor. You know, when she saw a rich man, she could have said, now, I could be rid of these old girls that I go on. I could be dressed better. I could be living better. And you know, it was a poor young man that had nothing. She didn't feel that she had to make any decision because of something. There's something of character about her. And Boaz knew all this. He was a lovely old. He knew of discernment and of judgment and of wisdom. And then she's a new girl. Oh, that we might get that in our souls.
You know, when a man refused in those days, this chapter, when a man refused to redeem, he had to pluck up his shoe. And the person that he wouldn't redeem, had to spit in his face. This one isn't that odd. And these odd customs.
You know, my friend, when his shoe was plucked off, you know what that meant? It meant that he had no future right to enter that inheritance again. No future right to enter that.
Now, she spat in his face. It meant that she treated him with honor and death. That he would not do that which God's work had enjoyed. That he had become so selfish, so inhibited, so narrow, so bigoted, so introspect.
He couldn't see others' needs, and he couldn't see others' families progressing. Oh, could I come to this one man today? This man forbidden the right to enter into the inheritance of God.
You know, once your mind is small,
And once it gets second stage, and once you don't see the vast greatness of the purpose of God, you know, I tell you, all you see is the four walls of the ark. And we all love them. God has got a massive. God has got a massive mind for you and I. Who would have thought when you saw Ruth down there and more, that she was going to be in the line of the genealogy of Christ? You look at some man in this meeting, you're not looking at him. Maybe just a boy, maybe just a young girl. And she's going to be somebody, yes. Do you preach to your audience like that? Do you know that in this very audience could be someone that would take the gospel further than ever we've been able to do? Or teach the things of God in ways that we never could do? Or some young woman might be a blessing as an elder's wife? And you'll need them. Please, try and see that God has saved you just to sit in these seats. And just to come on Sunday and Tuesday and Thursday, and I hope you do come on all these nights.
Our Savior Jesus, God is your true kindness, God is your end of us now. And if you're lost the right, you're going to be happy.
May I say this very, very tenderly? I believe that I could do it myself,
no. But I could complete the right to enter, to walk in the length of it. I'm a prisoner. I could spoil myself. And this man isn't an outward sin. This isn't public sin. This man just could be negligent,
thoughtless, selfish, in respect. I don't think you could point a finger at this man in relation to any blood of any type.
Oh, it happened upon every soul. You know, our blessed Lord, when he came here, some believe that this other kinsman is representing the Lord. The ten elders are representing the Ten Commandments. Your blessed Lord, when he came into this life, he was born a woman. He was born under the law. You know, our Lord was circumcised. And you know, when a man is circumcised, it means that he is to be done to keep the whole law. No Israelite ever did. But he did. But that of God says he not only kept it, it says he made it honorable. That is that he gave the law another dimension. He made the law beautiful.
He made the law as it came from the very heart of God. In all its beauty, in all its character, and in all its sinfulness.
The only wonder that God has done is the Holy Spirit.
When he was crucified, he came under the curse of the law. But when he rose from the dead, he went above the law. Bringing himself into the bondage of the law. Seeing him becoming a curse under the law. And rising from the dead, and up, above. And this priest was caged, right at the gate, right where everyone saw it. Right where there was not only ten commandments, but there were many witnesses.
And yet the Lord blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Holy Spirit. He suffered for everything else, and the night was being broken. You know, when Abraham was buying a little portion for his wife's burying ground from the children of Heth, or from Ephraim, he was like this.
He counted out the money. So many shekels. Current money. What a match. This check wouldn't hurt. Current money. What a match. Counted it out and threw the money. He did it in the presence of the children of Ed. And the priests, and the land, and the boundaries.
That's more than James in the letter four. That is a man that Abraham brought for his own period of days. It was quite then that we were after him, but he was very there. She was very there. Isaac was very there, and the vicar was very there. Jacob was very there, but Rachel wasn't very there. Leah was very there. No, he always wanted a husband of all of us. Couldn't he? Rachel Peck and Macrohan. But in their hand in the middle of search, you need to say anything. You know the things that God can do, and the things that God will bring up. That's where I sung that last verse. Understand the truth. And we'll stand in the rest. Ooh, it waited long. So, what am I saying? I'm saying that the moment that it was verified, judicially, legally verified, I'm saying to you that the fear of the temple was then, and the top to the bottom, and the way into the holiest is now being manifest. No, he just loved to sing the holiest now being manifest in every piece of the world. Well, that's right, and I love that. I'm just singing again. You hear me singing as good as any of you. I love all that. I feel that temple was then between from the top of the world, not only in the strength of sense but the way of the Holy Spirit. But the old tribulation, and the old temple, and all the system of the thing, and all the law, and all the strength, and all the charity, and all the priesthood of which came in. Don't bring back any more altars. Don't bring back any more sacrifices. Don't put feet saying to yourself, you know, it's in the book of the Psalms, and if David did it, we can do it. Oh, don't go back there. That's back again to the law. That's what salvation is all about. Don't take us back. Most of the epistles of the New Testament, most of them Paul, have you accepted, are all dealing with that in serious evil. People wanting to go back. I bring them to the side of the cross and the temple. We bring from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom to the top, but from God's side downward, signifying God. I stand here for heaven. I want a place in which we know as this generation, in the new covenant of things, remember this, you and I are blessings that are incalculable. A man went for his sheep and his goat and his pillow, and all he could go to the gate. He might get a bit of a look into the book of this vision of. He might just see the labor. And to see any father. They saw the candelabra and the table of showbread. And they saw the golden incense altar, the lamp.
You did it. One man. Once a year. Only. And that, not without blood. He had to go in twice.
Go in for himself. And then he had to go in for a meal. But this man.
Yes, man. After you got all your money sacrificed, your sins in your hands, I sat down and I come for the mansion in the heavens. Listen, my friend, in relation to your salvation, the work is all done. Did you notice a lovely thing? I hope you do. Some of the other people will notice it. Did you notice the work was all done without the presence of God?
done by Boaz. It was done by Boaz alone. The price was paid by him and him alone. It was a perfect black. It was a final one. And all at cost.
And the old man said, who overthrew the country talking like that?
All the people sent that to the country's washed white as snow. It wasn't my touch, they said me. It was his touch for me. It's not my grasp of him that holds me. It's his grasp of me. It's not me holding truth. It's truth holding me. Not only in Acts there before the start, I would love to quote a little verse that Paul would have described it like this, and he said unto the king, he says, the king knows it, of these things, but of this time, of this thing, is not done. The son Sean, marching the 2 million in Jerusalem at that time, go to the cross, you're needing a new sermon of 2 million, go to the cross. So, lawyers there, screens there, Pharisees there, priests standing just a little bit back, you know. Standing back further than the rest, and easy to play. Remove their steps in the soil. Never thought nothing for Martha, did they? Well, I appreciate their heart. You're sure of the meekness, you're down to it over all day. But that man is there. Sign of Simon, the centurion, the sons of Ham, the sons of Shem, the sons of Jacob, the Lord. He's been with Mary. Tonight. You know what he did?
The rock did make the mother's
cake.
Aye, did you know that all ministry is gospel? Do you know that Sir Robert Anderson wrote a book called The Gospel and Its Ministry? We've got the meetings in the compartments. To me, it's all the one thing.
Know that you and Gentile in one body is a great mystery. Although there are 7 mysteries in the Word of God and the New Testament. This mystery in the New Testament is this, that you and Gentile shall be brought into the one body, and shall be in Christ. And there'll be no Scythian, Barbarian, there'll be no Greek, and there'll be no intellectuals or ignorant, they'll be all one in Christ Jesus. I know that's a plan I've written over, something up in preparational meaning, but that's not what I believe. You see, my friend, that all one in Christ Jesus
is the word of Christ in relation to every one of us. Whether we got up there and here and everywhere. It's nothing to do with the church of the assembly.
It's all to do with the main thought of the body. So, these matters come upon us. The work at the gate produces a bride, a horse, a horse. Oh, I love that. Isn't it lovely to think that one day we are so shallow and hollow, and at times we're so prayerless and lying in bed. I'm feeling that we're going to be in essence as far as that we're going to be. Oh, I know. I don't know the older ones. If you'll find as you get older, things affect you. I used to think there was a lot of people with a lot of old sentimentalities and things like that.
But you know, what's with me is me and I in that thing. I want to be joy. She'll share.
You know, as you get older, this is your friend. Nice to be forever with him. And I was at the hall on Sunday and a man said to me in the hall, he says, I'm just thinking about the other side then. I love that. I thought that was the best thing that ever come. Somebody thinking about it. That's not nostalgic. That's not something really. The book of habit. And then you young people wonder why the old ones talk about going to heaven. I'll tell you why. Because they've got more of their friends in their folk in heaven than they have here. They think more about that other side than the human history that much at this moment.
hand.
Did you notice too that not only does the work at the gate produce a bride for Christ, but a bride for Lois, but the work at the gate brings about the recovery of Naomi? Oh, is there anybody in here that doesn't believe there's a future for Israel?
Well, I believe it anyway. I've not discussed it with any of the brethren, but I believe there's a future for Israel. And Naomi is going to be blessed. And she's going to have him and he's doing them, and he's going to be us, and then one day,
Israel is going to see you with your eyes open, and by the way, it's going to see you from Jesus Christ. I said, yes. Oh, that we do get that. That there is blessings as well for him. You know, not only is there the old man, but the women are talking at the gate when the child is born. Just before the child is born, let me say, let this young woman be likened unto Rachel and Leah, which do it out the house of Israel. Well, of course, most of the people in here think that Rachel did it all because she produced Joseph. Are you, my friend? Leah, look at this, she produced Joseph. You know, things that are fixed to your eye are not always the best. And they that are born first are not always them that are going to be blessed. But was not Cain born first? And was not Esau born first? And was not Manasseh born first? Did not even get a blessing from the crushed hands of the damned man.
That which cometh first, that which is of the earth, is earthly. It's the second man that God takes an interest in.
I seem to think, well, don't you see the blessing of Rachel and Leah? Well, other, I will check up the commentators and that, and, you know, some of these commentators, they never really say very much, do they? Well, one kind of suggests that Leah produced the quantity in the sixth chapter of Cain, and then the, you know, the family of the concubines. But Rachel produced the quality in Joseph. And Benjamin, which do they tell the house of Israel? It's not all Rachel. You know, she's got a lovelier face than Leah. She hasn't got a lovelier heart than Leah. And sometimes we look at face and figure. And that's just of all we see. We don't go and lose her heart.
And Leah, while she was really high, she wouldn't have won a beauty competition like Rachel.
Listen to a cry when a sick child is born. She said, no comes here. Now I will praise the Lord. I'll not look to my husband. I'll not look for his affection.
I'll not look anymore. Now I will praise the Lord.
Then when a man gets to the altar, I will praise the Lord. Be like the house of Pharaoh in Taman. Lord, you know, of this young woman, why not stand at all praise? Of this young woman. And right in my mind, take her on. Did I just not him to be in the animation? Of this young woman, I mentioned, his spouse to a man, she was Joseph. Oh, these are the things in these passages, these little underlying bits that we need to really get a hold of. You know, once she is married to Boaz, he says, I need you to come. Now she's looking into his face. Now all the corn is hers, and all the fields are his, and all the estates are his, and all that she never could believe, they're all hers. And you're here today, and you're going to have another week's going to bring. You're worried about the job, you're worried about the house, and you're worried about a thousand things, and I can see in your faces. Our preachers can read people's faces, being worried. No, one day, my friend, one day you're going to have a big stable all yourself. In fact, I want to suggest to you that no person involved in the bride will have estates on earth at all. That has to do with the kingdom. But those that are with Christ are going to come out and reign over it all. Not just a few.
You know that little bit of a half acre that you've got, maybe not even a third of an acre. Now they can get about 10 houses in that. What am I saying to you?
And loving and laboring for Christ. and you, if you can get that now, what a thrill it would be, and what a joy your house would be, and what hopes your heart would have.
And you know that it might be done so that thing is.
And they just did it out. Didn't that rule? You used to preach this about Livingston.
Christ coming.
That's what you used to say, it's coming soon. Do you really believe it? No, you don't believe it now. You actually don't want to go at all. There's more in the house than Joseph of Arimathea had about it. Everything's comfortable. Everything's luxurious. Everything's going here. We're very happy. We're taking as many pills and pumping the lingers to keep us living for another 10 or 15 years. Oh, keep me here! Are you sure, Stephen? I wonder to you, what a joy it was. And she woke up to see him face to face. Did you notice when the old man came by? The old man here. Where's this new man? What are they saying now, 3 chapters on? A son is born to the old man. Her circumstances are all changed. She's not pretty now. She's changed now. You didn't say, you know, you all owe me something.
See, there can't be anything like that. Chapter after chapter goes by, month after month goes by,
really experience of eking out a living.
But soon they say, it's really a wonderful person. And it says she took the child and became nurse unto that woman.
Tell me this,
Daddy.
What would
you
rather have?
What Christ would you sell one of them for 10,000? Even the worst one? I'm speaking to grandmothers now. You've never had a meeting to grandmothers, have you?
A meeting to grandmothers now.
You know, if grandmothers got their way, the children would be at Oxford and Cambridge by the time they're four.
They're wonderful. They can speak well, they're clever, they're bright, of course. It's all off, you know. Their side. You know what I mean?
Listen, my friend. What I want to preach to you tonight is this, and I hope you don't think that. This is going to go on.
Norman! Ian! Grandpa!
Things in this life
are better than cars, and houses, and land, and money.
And the other people are listening to me. I appreciate why. Just you live in them.
That is one of the means, words of desolation in the New Testament. One of the ones, oh family, what a staircase. She rushed it. It says she took it to her bosom. You know, that's the answer to old age, you know. The answer to old age is to have a promised son. Right in your own heart. Nursing him. He shall be a nourisher of the old age.
A nourisher of thy old age. What is the prophecy? What is it saying? He'll sustain thee when thou gettest old. He'll nourish you with affection this child of it.
He will be nourished. What does he say with a nursing fire? All is there to be like a nursing fire.
A nursing unto it. Listen to these words. Concerning thy daughter in law, she is better to me than 7 sons.
Aye, even the perfection of life and humanity, 7 sons.
Oh,
all the blessings of God so greatly packed in one little child, in one little son. And why is that? Simply because the opiate is in the purpose of God, and in the promise of God, and in the messianic line of Christ. Great thing in into that group, into that pathway, into that will.
That Lord is going to bring back the exaltation of God.
Would you agree that Pastor Davis was a lay person? And you'll find in the Word of God, without exception, that lay persons are always good persons. So you see, my friend, when we wait till our full time has come, when we wait till God works in us and chastens us and takes the chaff away and the dross of it, then thou shalt come forth as God, as God's after. He's not wanting all us up to us. He wants Israel. He doesn't want Jacob. Jacob dies. They are not Israel. That's what God's after. And great blessings, they come. And he will. They are the best. I see my time. Notice that the whole book comes to the technical matters at the end. And I'm glad that the technical matters went at the beginning. I worked with the technical matters at the beginning. But no, we're allowed to go through all the domestic scenes, all the hardships, all the rubbing of the calm, all the loneliness, all the tears, all the traveling, all the thought, we're allowed to go through things. And Solomon did that over. Oh, Benham. Oh, Benham. Thank you for mine. Thank you, Solomon. Really? Oh, yeah. You know, there's only one.